Hello, Christians. Stand by for spiritual truth.
Music.
Humor.
Almost an hour of worshiping and honoring our Lord and God.
Fellowship.
Quote notes.
Corny jokes.
God-given hope.
And more.
You have said that before.
And you're a poet and don't know it.
Excuse the pun, but that was fun. Anyway, folks, welcome to the Heaven Express program. It's so good to have you with us today.
It is good, and it is good to come together for the privilege of worshiping our Lord.
So make this a family time.
See if you can make it rhyme.
And join us on the railroad line that we call the Heaven Express.
Is that the train I hear? Could it be drawing near? Could it be
the Heaven Express?
If the Lord came today, could you say, I'm ready for
the Heaven Express?
If I should die tomorrow,
or you, my Christian friend,
someday we'll be together
forever
and ever.
Amen.
All aboard they call,
Jesus paid it all. He's the ticket for the Heaven Express.
You are blessed on the Heaven Express. Wow. Welcome to our program, folks. Thank you so much for being with us today. We're going to move right away to a segment of our program we call The Heart of the Composer.
Tonight, we are going to listen to an old, old favorite. It's called I Love to Tell the Story. William Wilberforce was a Christian statesman and abolitionist, and he led a fierce campaign in 19th century England to eradicate slavery from the British Empire. The geographical center of the campaign was a wealthy neighborhood in the south of London known as Clapham, where a group of Anglican evangelicals lived. Well, the Clapham sect was also advocating prison reform, education for children, and the expansion of missionary efforts overseas. Though they were lampooned for their efforts, they certainly changed the world. Arabella Catherine Hankey was born into this environment in 1834. Her father was a banker in Clapham and a leader in this group. Early in life, Kate became involved in religious work. As a young girl, she taught Sunday school, and when she was 18, she organized a Bible study for factory girls in London. When her brother fell ill in Africa, Kate traveled there to bring him home. And that trip sparked a passion for foreign missions. And in later life, Kate devoted all proceeds from her writing to missionary work. During the winter of 1865, Kate, 30, became very seriously ill. The doctors warned her to abandon her Christian activities and remain in bed for a full year. To occupy her time, Kate wrote a poem of 100 stanzas entitled The Old, Old Story. She began the first section, The Story Wanted, on January 29, 1866. And later that year, she wrote a second section entitled The Story Told. The following year, at a young men's Christian association, the speaker ended his powerful sermon by quoting from Kate's poem. It left the audience breathless. Songwriter William Doane, in the crowd that day, put a portion of Kate's poem to music, giving birth to the hymn, Tell Me the Old, Old Story. Another composer, William Fisher, set a second portion of Kate's poem to a musical score. And thus we have this hymn, I Love to Tell the Story. It was first published in an American hymn book in 1869 and was later popularized all around the world in the great evangelistic campaigns of D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey. So here is I Love to Tell the Story. Thank you.
Well, that was, I just love your music, dear.
Thank you, honey.
I like recording. In fact, without the help of our engineer son, Brian, we wouldn't be able to bring that to you because, as we were discussing with our guests tonight, it's really hard to carry a piano down here these steps. So we record that at home, and Brian puts it up there on the air for you. So thank you, Brian, and thank you, dear.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to move along now to the next segment of our program that we call Pearls of Wisdom from a Godly Grandpa. Not everyone has the blessing of a godly grandfather. There are many who never knew their grandfather at all. We call the segment of this program Pearls of Wisdom from a Godly Grandpa. Here he is, Brian Savage, reading Pearls of Wisdom from a Godly Grandpa.
When I was a kid growing up in southern Ohio, sometimes a street fair or a circus would come to our area and usually had some of the most unusual sideshows that you could ever imagine. I remember seeing IKEA the Wild Woman, many two-headed animals, tattooed people, which you can see in Walmart anymore, and usually they would have some kind of haunted house or fun house in which you have to find your way through it. They would have mirrors that made you look fat, some that would make you look tall and skinny, and some of the four-sided cubicles had mirrors on three sides, and you couldn't tell which side was open. And sometimes the floor was slanted, or loud horns were going off over your head, or maybe the whole house would be rotating. Everything was going on to distract you from finding the doorway out. It could be very confusing if you didn't know what to look for and be able to weave your way through and out the exit to safety. Years later, I read of another door in John chapter 10, when Jesus told his followers, "I am the door, and anyone who enters will be saved." I was confused and had many distractions going on, and not too concerned which path I was going to take the rest of my life. I somehow knew that I was not worthy to be saved. Then I heard in Romans 3, verses 23 through 25, that it was a gift to be received by faith. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, through Jesus we can be perfected for all times, those who are being sanctified by his atoning sacrifice. There is a wonderful old song that says, "Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door." Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone answers, I will come into him." There's one thing about a door. When you come to one, you either enter it or you choose to find another way. In God's plan, there is no other way. I am the door, not a door.
Mm-hmm.
Feel confused or lost, not sure which path to choose? The way of the cross leads home.
Thank you, Brian. That was really wonderful. That was good.
You know, I'm not sure that I ever enjoyed those fun houses with the trick mirrors and the stuff that would shake and scare you and knock you down. I know, though, anymore, Brian, my son, if you got me in one of those fun houses nowadays, I'd never get out.
And that's trying. A terrible feeling. It happened to me once.
You couldn't get out of a fun house?
I couldn't. And I was yelling for my uncle, who, of course, went right on through. And I'm in there going, "Uncle Don! Uncle Don!" The top of my lungs.
He knew what he was doing, didn't he?
He sure did, didn't he? Yes.
Almost lost you, didn't he?
He sure did. I thought I was a goner. Well, in fact, right now, if you don't mind, honey, I would like to introduce to our listeners our guest this evening.
Absolutely.
All righty. And that is Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Community Christian Church in Prospect, Ohio.
Pastor and friend.
And good friend,
yeah,
yes.
Right.
Welcome back, Steve.
Glad to be here.
Is this your first time in the new studio?
First time in the new studio, yes.
Hmm.
It's quaint.
Yes, it is quaint.
You know, Pastor, Glenn and I often think of you and your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny, it's been so long since we've had you on this program. Update our listeners where your church is, how long it has been there. How did you get started in Prospect?
In Prospect. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, two blocks east of the center of town. We have been there for, we've been in that building. We bought that building 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. We started 12 years ago around a kitchen table like a lot of church plants do. Mm-hmm. And it was a leading of the Lord to do that.
12 years.
I can't believe it's been 12
years.
It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I worked median homes when I had, that's been about 11 or 12 years ago.
At that time, we were meeting at the Prospect Senior Center, and on Wednesday evenings, we chose to have prayer and Bible study in the park. Two reasons. One, because it was we didn't have to pay to rent the senior center on Wednesdays. And the other reason being just exposure and spreading the word and the gospel to other people.
Yeah.
I never forgot that day.
So what has been happening in the Prospect Church since we met with you last time?
Oh, in our church, trying to think of what changes we've had. I don't think that we've had a lot of...
Do you have a baptismal?
Do we have a baptismal?
Yeah.
We have a portable baptismal, yes.
Uh-huh.
And we've done... well, I think we may have added a kitchen since I talked to you last.
You know, last time I stopped by and talked to you, you were working in the kitchen area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And our mission house is finally about completed.
What's a mission house?
We bought a house that was behind the church, another property, and we use it for, well, we have some Sunday school rooms in there and part of our clothing ministry, and of course that's kind of the main hub for our food ministry, and we do 200 lunches a week to the school system
on
Fridays.
Oh, that's right behind the church, isn't it? Right behind the
church? Yeah, right behind the church,
yeah.
Yes.
The Mission House, that's an interesting name. Did you buy that property then?
We bought that property 3 years ago. It was in foreclosure, and the Lord provided it for us, and it's been a wonderful place to work out of.
Wonderful. Now, do you have places for to put somebody up overnight? Or
you know, we could.
Homeless? Do you ever see many homeless people?
In Prospect?
Yeah.
Not typically, but, you know, it can happen.
Has it happened?
Has it happened? We've put people up overnight before, but typically that's not a phone call that we get, to be honest. And it's nice that we do have facilities in Marion that do put people up that we can refer them to.
Yeah.
But we do have, you know, two showers, and we can accommodate accommodate a lot of missions that way with groups that come in. And they just put up cots and stay right in the church. We have a kitchen, we have bathroom, showers, so that works.
What do you mean by missions?
Well, we have we partner with other churches around the country sometimes, and we'll have teams of youth come in. We had a 5-year group that came in from Lancaster, South Carolina. Every year they bring about 25 kids, and they would do service projects all over Prospect.
Really?
And that time ran out, but we've had other groups come in since.
I want to ask you a question. That reminds me of a group of people that, it's been a lot of years. I'm thinking 8 years. We New City Fellowship is a branch of Laborer Baptist Church that we started in Marion. And when we were in Laborer, we had a flood over there. And the senior center over there flooded pretty bad. And we had a group of missionaries from Pennsylvania come in and help with that, help those senior citizens get their... I was deep water and cold. And do you know a young lady named Amber Mead headed that up? Do you know Amber?
I don't know Amber.
I was just sound like very much like the same thing. And that's when what type of an outreach would you find in Prospect?
In general, what kind of outreach would we see and do? Oh, there's so much. There's so much.
The missionary group would come in.
Oh, they would come in. There was a lot that we did. We would hold a kind of like a little Bible school in the park for a week. We would do that. They did a lot of cleanup in town. A matter of fact, out of that came Creation Care Day, where all the churches get together one time a year, and they canvass the entire town, the alleys everywhere, and pick up trash.
Wow.
But as far as ministries in town that they would do that and do some door-to-door things, different things at the church where they'd have kids come in, whatever we would find they could do. I know when they closed the elementary school when Elgin merged with or built the new buildings and they were going to tear the building down, our kids actually went over with those kids from South Carolina and they helped pack up trailers and clean the school out. So wow. Just a lot of different things. I know they went to the, what's the ministry that Annie Joseph has with?
Chapel Hill.
Uh-huh. They painted fences at Chapel Hill.
Oh, so they did things
of that nature.
We've had Annie on our program before. What a wonderful outreach that is.
And then we go back there, too.
I went to school with her husband.
Did you?
Was it Joe or Al?
Larry.
I can't remember. Larry. Mm-hmm. Went to school with the. You'd think I know his name. It's been a while. My son's over here laughing at me. It's been a while, Brian.
I had a particular blessing that wasn't exactly in Prospect. I found out yesterday, about 4 years ago, I was in the Bolivian jungle, and I left a little boy by the name of Fernando, a New Testament. And this was a very primitive village. And I always wondered what became of Fernando. We were the first missionary group to go in at that time there. And I found out just last night that on their last missionary trip that Fernando and two of his friends had accepted Christ. So isn't that a blessing?
Oh,
where was this
goodness.
At?
It was in a little village called Bahia Negra. It's out in the middle of the Amazon jungle in Bolivia.
How in the world did you ever get to the Amazon jungle?
It wasn't easy. That was part of that group of South Carolina. I went with some of their missionaries. But we had a couple-hour flight over nothing but jungle in a little tiny prop plane. And it's one of those deals, if you go down, they don't find you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was it's a great mission.
What an experience for you. Oh, my goodness.
It was.
And then to actually get word.
Isn't that neat?
That
God works in neatest
ways.
Yeah,
that is terrific.
You hear those things down, you know. And then I just got a text from a lady. They were thinking about going back, and she just texted me. The government just decided that, made a decision that evangelism was a crime, and they've stopped all of it.
Now, we can't forget there was also in some of those areas where if you went in there were cannibals. You know, and there was other threats besides the government. Yeah, mm-hmm. But God is. We'll talk a little about that a little bit later about those wonderful outreaches. Let's praise the Lord right now. Why don't you thank mm-hmm. the Lord right here on the air?
Absolutely, we praise the Lord for that, for His amazing grace and love and His planning that we can't see.
Do it for us right now.
Absolutely. Prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You right now for all the things that You have planned in all of our lives when we serve You.
Absolutely.
And as we faithfully serve You, we're doing what You call us to do, and we may not see the outcome of it. We may never see the outcome of it, but You do. And what a blessing it is, Lord, when we are blessed to see the fruit of those labors.
Amen.
But Lord, even when we don't, we trust You and we know that You have a plan, and Your plan is always perfect. In Your precious name, amen.
Amen. We do. We often talk about God moments on this program. You and I have talked about God moments when something comes into you. You know, for sure, what we talked about, me meeting you in the mm-hmm. park some dozen years ago or close to that, how that was a God moment. And we all see God moments. Can you think of certainly that was a God moment.
Absolutely.
Last night. How did you receive that information?
A lady that I keep in contact with on social media, which, by the way, social media gets a lot of hits as far as being a bad thing. But, you know, I have to tell you that I know there's at least 10 people a day that I pray for because of direct things that come to me through social media. But this was a lady that was on these mission trips to Bolivia. And she contacted me and said, hey, we're going to have another trip soon. Would you consider going back again? And that's how the conversation started.
Okay.
So, I don't know that I'd go back or not. I don't know that I could at this point, depending on the government. It was a little hairy back then, even, to be honest with you.
I would think, yes.
And you're not as young as you used
to. No, I'm not as young as I was a few years ago.
But how those that caring that God provides for us in our life leaves deep impressions in our lives. And what a blessing it is to see God at work personally in detail in our lives. No wonder we love the Lord like we do. And for those people who don't have God sovereignly working in their life, of course, God is sovereign. So God works all things, doesn't Romans 8:28 say? for the good of those who love him. But that's as we mature, that's one reason why we love him the way we do. Just one. In fact, we're going to do a song now, my wife and I. Wrote a song a few years ago. We call the song, "Oh My Jesus, How I Love You."
Oh my Jesus, how I love you. I know I'm always in your care. Oh my Jesus, how I love to come to you, my Lord, in
Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end,
our great high priest and friend, he's my friend, the jewel of our affection, you are the only way,
the Son of God. Praise him, amen. Good to have you with us tonight, Steve.
It's good to be here.
Let's continue. Let's pick up where we left off. I'm wondering, how many children do you have in your church? I heard you say you had 23 grandkids. Do they all go to?
They sure do.
They do?
My goodness.
So you know what? It's really great. Well, no, wait a minute. I correct that. I misspoke. There's 23 of us when we're all together. I have 13 grandchildren, excuse me.
Okay.
That 23 would be just off the charts, but 13's enough.
Yeah.
But they're all there. They're all there.
How many grandkids do we have?
We have 16.
Yeah. Oh, you have more than I do.
Hmm? I thought we had 17.
No, that's right. Yeah.
17?
No, 16.
Okay. That's it. Confused me.
It depends on if I count you.
Well, I know. That's a good point.
I know.
Are you familiar with the segment of our program that we do here we call Just What Did That Kid Say?
Just What Did That Kid Say?
Yeah.
I just heard it a while ago.
And can you think of any moments when you were talking to your children or grandchildren and what come out of their mouths were awesome?
With my grandkids, the list goes on and on. It's just trying to pinpoint one.
No, I was trying to remember. Let me.
I was talking to my grandson Bryce, and he wanted to talk to me about God.
Oh.
And
all right, hold up a second. Let me give you the introduction.
Okay.
He's going to do that song for us, or that segment for us. So let's see if we can get some music background. You've all been there. You know, when your kids or grandkids or even when you were a kid and said something that the family still talks about today. Let's see what our guests will share with us today. Will it be hilarious? Will it be just plain awesome? What did that kid say anyway?
It's been a year or so ago. One of my younger grandsons, Bryson, was talking to me and asking me questions about Jesus. And about Jesus dying on the cross and raising from the dead, and he said, "Just how long was he dead anyway?" And I said, "Well, it was 3 days. He went, 3 whole days, huh? Man, that's something, isn't it?" And just his emphatic way of saying it, he was thinking about it, and you can see those little wheels turning.
Well, that was such a wonderful illustration. Imagine that same response from all those people back then, the adults even.
Oh, I can't imagine.
They might ask the same question, come up and Brian, they would be talking about Jesus died and there's proof that he's risen again. And maybe you would ask that question, well, how long was he dead anyway? That's marvelous.
It reminds me of my daughter mentioned in church this morning during a time of praise, she was talking about our youngest grandson, Titus, who's 3, and he was asking her questions about Jesus just so inquisitively. And the Bible talks about the faith of a child, and they just suck up that information.
Oh,
boy, doesn't that leave us with a responsibility?
Oh boy.
Well, in fact, I think Glenn and I have written a song. We're not going to dig it out for you now, but that's the one about the little girl who, remember, she's dancing and
she's dancing, yes.
And praying.
Thinking God thoughts today.
Yeah, having God thoughts. And then at the end of the song, the father says, oh, to have that kind of faith.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can think of, Brian, I just thought of a... what did that kid say, Mom? It's not near as good as our guest, Pastor Whitaker. But let me share this with you. This might jolt your mind a little bit. Years ago, when my oldest daughter was around 3, her mother put her to bed in our bedroom, which was the farthest away from the kitchen. And when Mom thought it was just long enough for the toddler to be asleep, she quietly opened up the refrigerator and got herself a cherry Pepsi. Very quietly, she opened up the container, trying to minimize the psst sound that it always makes. When suddenly out of the back of the house, she heard this little voice say, "Mommy, are you drinking Pepsi?"
Yeah, that's pretty cute.
We were talking a little while ago about missionary trips to the jungles. Again, God in His sovereignty, the quote note that I have chosen for you today, we're going to talk about quote notes. The quote note that I have chosen for you today comes from a missionary named Jim Elliot. Mm-hmm. Remember Jim Elliot?
Yes. Absolutely.
Remember his famous quote? It's not foolish to give what you cannot keep, to gain what you can never lose. Of course, Jim Elliot was martyred in the jungles by natives, and they put spears through all of the missionaries. Years later, his wife wrote a book called, Elizabeth Elliot wrote a book called The Shadow of the Almighty, and other books mm-hmm. after that. But her son became a missionary over there. And folks, I want to tell you this is a true story. Her son witnessed to the very native that had killed his father and brought him to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We talk about the sovereignty work of God.
Jim Elliot was martyred, but you look at the ministry that's come out of that one incident, and God, it shows how sovereign God is and how He takes what the world means for bad and He turns for good.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
You do much singing in your church?
We do a lot of singing, but I try not to. I want to keep people there. I have a very musical family. My brothers and sisters all really beautiful voices. And, I was given the appreciation of music, but not the ability to do it.
So who leads the singing in your church then?
Actually, there's two ladies. One is my daughter, Holly, which is my youngest.
I've met your daughter.
You've met Holly. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have.
Hello, Holly.
And another young lady that's about Holly's age by the name of Amanda. And they lead all the singing and do a marvelous job.
They use a guitar or a keyboard?
You know what we do is we have a lady named Eva that will play before church starts, the prelude. Mm-hmm. But we have, and it's really odd. Now, you guys think about this. In God and His sovereignty, why He's done this, I don't know. We're 12 years old as a church. We've always desired to have musicians. And we still used canned music because to this day, He has never brought us musicians to our church that could play. Why that is, I don't know, but we're going with a flow.
Yes, I guess so.
You know, when we started out in Labor Baptist Church, I struggled playing piano for him for a little bit when I had to, and our pastor's wife was an accomplished pianist, and she played for the group over there. But, you know, there's probably, God always provided us with a new piano player. When we got a new pastor, his wife could play the piano, and then she started teaching mm-hmm. kids to play the piano. How many piano players would you say is over there now, Brian? Mm-hmm.
At least a dozen teenagers.
You know, that's funny you mention that because we have young people that a lot of people know. You know Rose in Prospect.
Oh yes.
And Rose Roberts, and yes. She teaches a lot of kids, and she's taught a lot of kids in our church. Now they're coming up learning, and I would imagine at some point we'll have
a
multitude of them. So
yes, you should be able to do that.
But no guitarist yet.
Huh? That is surprising. Yeah.
Most churches have more than they can. I don't get it, but God knows.
Yes, He does. Yeah.
It would look like the shift has gone from piano, and I don't know, it's hard even to hear organ music in the church anywhere, but one time
I love it.
That was a standard.
Mm-hmm. I still love it. And
you have an organ in your church.
We have an organ that was put in there in the turn of the century, mm-hmm. that century ago.
Oh.
And we just had it looked at, and they told us it would cost $60,000 to make it work again.
Wow.
That will be a non-working organ in our church until the Lord returns, if the building's still there.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to turn now to a song that we wrote several years ago. Called Praise Be to Our God and Father. And honey, that comes right out of the book of Ephesians.
It sure does.
Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be reading that for us. Go ahead and do that.
I am. Okay. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved.
Thank you, my dear. Mm-hmm. One thing, every once in a while, I'll do this. I'll write a song and try to make it as scriptural, absolutely scriptural as I can. I've had successes, but I'm particularly pleased with this. And I want to give our pastor, Josh Hoss, credit mm-hmm. for this, because he led us in a study out of the book of Ephesians, and it so impressed me. I went right to the first chapter in the book of Ephesians and wrote this song. Here we go with a song called Praise Be to Our God and Father.
Praise be to our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It really turns out nice because he blesses us from heavenly places. Praise be to our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He chose us in Jesus to be holy.
Before the world was created, he chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight.
In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons. In accordance to his will.
And praise be to our God and Father
of our Lord Jesus Christ. He conformed us, he transformed us to be blameless in his sight.
Tell us about your church. Give our listeners some more
thumbnail information. Sketch, real quickly.
I'll
do that. We are a Bible teaching, Bible believing, and Bible obedient church. We strive to be that. I like to think of it as a church that when people come there, they can expect to be fitted with the full armor of God. And if they're willing to put it on, to strap it on, and to resist the things of the world today. We have a lot of children's programs once a month. And 6:30 in the evening, we have a program called Team Kid, which is just an outreach and a fun time and Bible lessons for kids. We have, of course, Sunday school on Sunday mornings at 9:30, service at 10:30. Then in the evening, we have a 6:30 service and 6:30 youth group. Wednesday nights, we offer Bible studies in the church and in a few different homes. We're pretty busy. We have a lot of things going on all the time, and I believe that's the Lord gives us the church to be active for that reason, and it's our ministry is not just Sunday morning; it's throughout the week.
You have a telephone number that you want.
We do. Telephone number is 740-494-2222, and you can also reach us through www.prospectccf.com.
Okay. Well, you know, Scripture tells us that we're supposed to be in service for the Lord. And not only that, but we're supposed to be in service with his strength. And boy, you know, it sounds like you really have a lot of God's strength pouring down on you and your church family.
Just out of curiosity, do you have a piano in your church?
Oh, we have a beautiful piano. We have a lady, Eva Myers, that plays on Sunday morning the prelude every week.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Pastor, we're just about out of time.
Yeah.
And
I'm
folks,
sorry. We certainly want to thank you, Steve, for coming
thank
back
you for
and
having
joining
me.
Us.
Yes.
It's so wonderful to talk to you and hear about your ministry. We really appreciate it. And we want to thank you folks out there for joining us tonight on the Heaven Express program.
And whether we're on the air,
or in a plane,
or in a car,
or on the train,
it's our prayer we meet again. Until
then,
may the
one
who
blesses
bless you
very, very much.
May you have God's blessing on your way.
Good night, folks. God bless.
You're listening to WWG.